There will be two New Testament readings this morning. The first will be from Ephesians 2. I will start reading at verse 13, though, rather than verse 11, as it says in the bulletin. And the second reading will be from 1 Peter 2. But first, Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 22, and you'll find this on page 1065 of the Church Bibles. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And now in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4, and you'll find this on page 1104 of the Church Bibles. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who did not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This Ephesians passage is probably familiar, since we talked about it a bit last week, too. You probably remembered that as you heard Paul describing the church as the family or household of God. But he uses multiple metaphors and images in that same passage. He moves from a family image to a building image. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. But what exactly does this tell us? Some of the other images that we have looked at so far really help describe the church for us. The first week we did this, you'll remember, it was the body of Christ. And we talked about how we depend on each other, how we are a part of each other in the body of Christ. And last week we saw the church as the family of God or the household of God. And we talked about how by being adopted into Christ, we are adopted into the very relationships between the persons of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and how this too affects our relationships with each other. Those are great descriptions and aspects and characteristics of the church. But today's image seems to go a little bit deeper than that. It begins to tell us more about the why. What is the church for? We begin to see this when we consider the place of the temple in ancient Jewish culture. It's hard to overstate how central the temple was in Jesus' time. That is because it was considered to be the very dwelling place of God. It is where heaven meets earth. It is where the Jewish people would come closest to encountering God. It was a sacred space designed in every way to draw the people into worship. Paul is tapping into that when he uses the temple imagery here for the church, a holy temple in the Lord, a dwelling place for God. We are brought together as a church to be a dwelling place for God. It is different than the ancient notion of God residing in a physical building, as grand as it was. It is a building image, but Paul is not talking about a physical church building. For the church to be a holy temple in the Lord, it means that we are drawn together as a body, as a family, as a temple where we encounter the very presence of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And that means that first and foremost, the church is a people of worship. This is why the Reformers insisted that the marks of the true church are where the word is proclaimed and read and where the sacraments are rightly administered. These are acts of worship. More than anything else, this is what defines the church. It is Jesus whom we meet every week in worship, in that word read and proclaimed. It's Jesus whom we hear and feel in the cool waters of baptism, and it is Jesus whom we see and taste in the bread and wine of the sacrament of Holy Communion. The presence of God among us is what makes a community of Christians a church, and not just some kind of friendly benevolence institution. We encounter that presence in worship as we sing the great hymns of the ages, knowing that it is Christ Himself to whom we are singing. We encounter that presence when we pray with vigor and expectation, knowing that Christ is there to carry our prayer requests to the Father. And of course, it doesn't stop with what happens inside these doors. As I said, though Paul used the building metaphor for the church, he is talking about the people, no matter where they are located. And of course, although Sunday morning worship is the most important event in our life together, the church does not stop at Sunday morning worship. A church that is a holy temple in the Lord, that is a dwelling place for God, a church that meets the Lord in worship cannot help but respond by carrying that word, the good news of the Lord, out to the world. A church that meets the Lord in worship, that is a temple and dwelling place for God, cannot help but respond by living out our individual vocations, whatever they may be, as Christian teachers or managers, as Christian tradespeople, or even Christian retirees or volunteers. A church that meets the Lord in worship cannot help but respond to the good news with acts of charity and love and generosity. But make no mistake, it all follows from meeting the Lord in worship. That is the reason the church is here. I know that there are many here who are very familiar with the Heidelberg Catechism's first question and answer. But the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism hits on this particular issue even more succinctly. It asks, what is the chief end of man or humanity? What is the reason we are here? And it answers, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the very reason we are here. More than anything else, the church is a holy temple in the Lord, a dwelling place for God. The church is a place and a people where worship is central and where God is glorified and enjoyed. But this image in these passages we read this morning tell us more as well. Some of you may have already picked up on this. I know that we are starting to get some practice discerning these images. We're now in the third week of looking at these images, and I'm guessing that some of you saw what Paul did here with the verb tenses. Notice that he says that you are citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus as the cornerstone. In Him, the whole structure is joined together, and it grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Like so many things in the New Testament about the Christian life and about the church, there is an already and a not yet aspect to it. You are citizens with the saints. In Jesus, the whole structure is joined together, and it grows into a holy temple. It is already here, and it is a work in progress. It's very easy for us to overlook this. And when we overlook this aspect of the church, we can cause trouble for ourselves. We can easily get discouraged when we look around the church and we don't see a perfect church. It is easy to paint a rosy picture of a thriving church with vibrant worship and outreach ministries that flow out of the gospel. And we have some of those things here. But as we have been talking about in our discussions over the past few weeks, we also have areas where we're not quite there yet. How we need to communicate better with each other. How we need to love each other more deeply, even or especially those with whom we have profound disagreements. I'm sure that each of us can think of a time, whether it's here at Parkwood or in another congregation, when we've been hurt by folks who were not acting as if they were a dwelling place for God. That is because the church is still growing into a holy temple. The First Peter passage that I read helps us with this. It also describes this new temple and extends the building metaphor as well. There it's called a spiritual house with living stones. Come to Him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are commanded to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house. It's an interesting command, isn't it? Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. When it comes to the building of the temple, we have a tendency to want to take on different roles than merely letting ourselves be built. We want to be the architect, to decide what the temple, what the spiritual house is going to look like. Or we might want to be the foreman to oversee the building of it. We might see ourselves as the interior designer, picking out the colors and shapes of the decorations in the temple. Some of us might see ourselves as the financier. We provide the finances to keep this temple building project going. Some of us might even want to be the doorkeeper, deciding who's in or who's out. But Peter is quite clear. We are the stones, the living stones. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let yourselves be built. It is a passive verb, and it is a different thing than building ourselves into a spiritual house. I think this fits well with the work of discernment that we have embarked on as a congregation as to where Christ is leading us, what kind of a house or temple he is building us into. And lest we think that being passive is easier or somehow more comfortable than doing the work of architecting or being a foreman and such, let's just savor this image of the living stones for a moment. I was recently watching a documentary, and they happened to be in southern Indiana in a big limestone cutting operation. These days they have high-tech saws that cut the stones so that they will fit together tightly and perfectly. That looked like it'd be a painful process for the stone, but it was one cut and fairly quick. But back in the first century, they didn't have diamond-tipped saws capable of making a long, smooth, flat, perfect cut on the first try. They had hand tools. Each cut was small and required painstaking care and significant force. Wouldn't it be nice for us if this growing together, if this being made into a spiritual house took just a single quick clean cut for each of us? But it's not that way, and we know it. It takes cut after cut, year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day, for God to build us together. This happens year after year and week after week, not only in worship and hearing the word read and proclaimed, but also in committee meetings and potlucks. It happens not only in feeling the water of baptism or coming to the Lord's table for spiritual nourishment, but also in singing hymns that you don't like at first, but then that you realize one week has really grown on you and shaped your soul. It happens in conversations during fellowship hour and in working together on a mission project with someone you may not know all that well, or someone with whom you have significant differences. Living stones get shaped together when someone has a hard conversation with you that helps you see how you could be a more faithful follower of Christ. And it happens when you disciple others and care enough about them to have painful and difficult discussions, but loving and important discussions with them. The church, as a holy temple in the Lord, is a work in progress. And it will continue to be until Christ returns, bringing the new heaven and the new earth. But it is a work in progress built on a sure foundation, on Christ the cornerstone. And in this we can take great comfort. When the cornerstone is solid and true as it is in Jesus Christ, a building, a temple, a church can withstand whatever might come of it. And so we finish where we began this morning in the sure confidence and hope of Christ Jesus as the cornerstone of the temple. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together. together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Thanks be to God.